Welcome to the Casey Kohar Show, a celebration of words. Our guest today is Jennifer Haig, the author of two novels, Mrs. Kimball and Baker Towers. And first of all, Jennifer, welcome to the show and thank you for being a guest.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
First of all, let's put a plug in for the appearance you're going to be making at the Thurber House, which will be on March 15th at 7:30 p.m. at the Columbus School for Girls. And that information on the appearance and on the Thurber House is available on the website, and that will be next Tuesday night. Now, have you been in Columbus before, Jennifer, on any of your travels?
Yes, I have, actually. I was a visiting writer at Ohio Wesleyan a couple of years ago.
Oh, great. Now, tell us a little bit about your career prior to writing Mrs. Kimball, which was your first novel published by Morrow in 2003, which won the Penn Hemingway Award for Best First Fiction. If you would tell the listeners a little bit about your life prior to the publication of your first novel.
Well, I spent about a number of years really learning how to write. My focus in those years was reading, lots of reading, and writing some short stories. I did lots of different kind of work in those years. I did everything from waitressing to teaching yoga to cleaning office buildings at night. I worked briefly as a magazine editor at Men's Health Magazine and later at Self Magazine, and moved around a lot. I moved 8 times in 10 years. It was really just filling up my tank with things to write about in a certain way. Like a lot of writers, I developed an interest in writing at such a young age that I didn't yet have a whole lot to write about. So it took a little while for experience to catch up with motivation. I've always wanted to write, and it wasn't until I started Mrs. Kimball in 2000 that I really felt I had a story to tell.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's an important point to mention for aspiring writers, is that there is a certain amount of life experience that I think goes into the writing of good fiction, and people shouldn't give up too quickly or too early thinking that they're going to graduate with a bachelor's degree or an MFA and immediately join the publishing world as a published author and live happily ever after. It really does take some time.
That does sometimes happen, but it often ends very badly. I have a lot of compassion for writers who are published too early. I think it would be a terrible feeling to look back at your first book and be mortified. And I think if I had written a novel at 20 years old and had the misfortune to have it published, it would have been a very bad novel indeed, and something I would be trying to live down for the rest of my writing life.
That's a good point. I never really thought of it in those terms, but you're absolutely right. Okay, well, let's talk.
You know, we live in a culture where there is such a glorification of youth and very young people. And in certain pursuits, that makes a lot of sense. It makes sense that sports stars are 20 years old, or dancers, or fashion models. But I truly believe that writing is not a young person's game. And it's one of those endeavors where success before the age of 30 isn't realistic or desirable. I think it takes a very long time to know enough about life that you've got something to write about. I think the ideal career trajectory is to sort of write your best book in your 70s. And it's true that a lot of our best American writers are in their 60s and 70s and older. There's a reason for that. It's something you really grow into.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. Let's talk about Mrs. Kimball, which is a structurally a very interesting novel, and I enjoyed it very much. As I mentioned, it was published by William Morrow. Excuse me, and it is available in trade paperback now. And it's a kind of a trilogy of wives, if you will. There's Bertie, Joan, and Dinah. And Ken Kimball, the husband of the Mrs. Kimballs, is one of the more despicable men, in modern fiction. And the fact that both of his names started with K kind of bothered me a little bit, because so do mine. And this guy is bad news. So when you started out structurally with Mrs. Kimball, how did that kind of develop the way you told the story? Because I found it very interesting.
You know, I think it was Joyce Carol Oates who said, novel is structure. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. The way of telling the story is just as important as the content of the story. And in the case of Mrs. Kimball, what gives the novel the impact it has is the structure of the book is I conceived of it as kind of a bagel-shaped novel, you know, and Ken Kimball is the hole at the middle of the bagel. The book is told in three parts from three points of view, the first, second, and third wives of Ken Kimball. And what we never get is the point of view of Ken Kimball himself. So he is a character we see only through the eyes of the other characters. And it was a calculated choice on my part. If I had also given the point of view of Ken Kimball, it would have been, of course, a very different book. He's sort of the mystery at the center of the book, and I think that mystery is what drives the narrative. Like everything else I've ever written, Mrs. Kimball is something I've backed into. When I started writing the book, I really thought it was a story about one woman, Birdie, the first Mrs. Kimball, and her two small children. I thought that was the book. But as often happens when you're writing a novel, I found myself absolutely riveted by this missing husband, this husband who had left her. I found myself very curious about why he'd left and where he'd gone and what he did there and so on. And I've just sort of followed that thread of the story. And that led me to the second Mrs. Kimball and the third Mrs. Kimball. So it was really a case where it's like fishing. You feel something pull on your line, but you have no idea what it is until you reel it in.
Yes. Now, in Mrs. Kimball, religion, let's put it in a time frame. It takes place back in the 60s and the 70s primarily. And it seems to me, Jennifer, that religion is an important part of the book as it was during that period of time. But it wasn't necessarily the practice of the religion, but the appearance and public perception of the religion in Mrs. Kimball that I found interesting and different from a lot of novels that I read.
Well, there's very little religion in the book, except for the fact that Ken Kimball, early in his life, is a minister. But for most of the narrative, he's no longer a minister, and sort of becomes something else and something else again. He's one of those characters who's kind of a chameleon, and in each section of the book, he becomes something different in a very real way. Having said that, I suppose that these characters' religious backgrounds do exert a force on what kind of people they are when we meet them. You know, it's sort of part of the fabric of those characters. But the story itself doesn't involve religion per se. It's sort of something happening there in the background.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one thing I was interested in, I was thinking too as I was reading, was I wonder if Ken Kimball could survive today with technology and computers and the way that we have with the internet and stuff. You wonder if a guy could kind of get away with some of the things that he does in the world we live in today versus when the period of time that you set the book in.
Well, I imagine some of his methods would have been a little bit different, but I have a lot of faith in Ken Kimball. I think he's a pretty resourceful and ingenious fellow, and I have no doubt that he would have adapted to this technological environment and would have thrived.
Yeah, you're probably right. If you're good at it, at some point in your life, you're probably good.